Okay, welcome everyone. Our first presenter is Ms. Daisy Lee. She's a doctoral candidate in the Department of Behavioral and Community Health at the University of Maryland, College Park. Daisy earned her dual master degrees in Asian American Studies and Public Health from the University of California, Los Angeles. Her MPH concentration was in Community Health Sciences with specializations in Global Health and Health Promotion and Health Education. Daisy's primary research interest is in sexual and reproductive health amongst minority populations, particularly with CBPR on cervical cancer prevention, care, and control within the inner city, Southeast Asian, and adolescent populations. Currently, Ms. Lee is working as a faculty research assistant in the Community Health Awareness, Messages, and Prevention Lab in the areas of cancer, health disparities, and health communication, among others. She presently assists Dr. Cheryl L. Hult with research grants centered on community-based and culturally appropriate interventions with an emphasis on spirituality and religiosity. Okay, so let's welcome her to the podium. Before we do that, I just want to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. You don't have to put them away. I would love if we could ask people to turn off their cell phones, but we can't. But if you could silence them, that would be great.
Hi everyone, welcome. My name is Daisy again, and I am from the University of Maryland, doctoral candidate. And today I'll be discussing our Men's Prostate Awareness Church Training Project. It takes place in Prince George's County, Maryland. And I'll be discussing our intervention development process, as well as present some of our very preliminary baseline information. Before I begin, I have no relationships to disclose. These are just some of the bullet points that I'll be covering today. Like I said before, I'll just walk us through kind of the background very briefly on the disparities in prostate cancer, particularly in African American men population, and then talk about some of our baseline findings. So African American men have the highest mortality rate from prostate cancer than any other group of men in the United States. They're twice more likely to die from prostate cancer when compared to European American men, and it's the low rate of prostate cancer screening that contributes to some of these disparities. Research has also shown that the lack of access to health information technology has been correlated with this disparity, and we believe that African American men, being that they are at greater risk for getting prostate cancer, that they would benefit from getting the information about making an informed decision around prostate cancer screening. Just some brief background on prostate cancer screening. There's two types, so the prostate-specific antigen blood test and the digital rectal exam, which the physician would use a lubricated glove and, feel for abnormality within the prostate. Now, the MPAC project is, the main purpose is to develop, implement, and evaluate a spiritually-based four-part men's health workshop within the African-American community. We work with African-American men 40 to 69, and what our approach is basically train-the-trainer model. So we train and certify community health members, and then they in turn get our messages out at their respective churches. And I'll also describe some of that a little further in the PowerPoint presentation. We are a community-based participatory research project. What that basically means is that throughout the entire process, our dynamic team of co-investigators, students, community partners, civic leaders, physicians, we're all a very collaborative team, and so everyone has input throughout the entire process of our intervention, development, and implementation stages. Again, we are community-based participatory research. Being that we are community-based participatory research, we train our CHAs, we call them community health advisors, and they lead our workshops. This is just an example from our pilot study where this individual right here is one of our CHAs. He went through training for about a month, went through about 8 hours a total of education curriculum, and then we certified them, and they also had to lead a mock session before they were able to implement the program at their respective churches. We could probably go quite some time into the development stage, so I'm going to briefly just cover this part. We work with 20 churches again, and at each church, the church is the one that will select their designated community health advisor, and then from there we train and certify them, and we through them we help raise awareness and empower individuals in the community to present the program. We do so by framing our intervention using spiritual-based themes as well as scripture. So research has already shown that church-based interventions work within the African-American community. We know that. But this particular program, we've also included like a spiritual-based piece. So we'll use scriptures, and I'll show you some of those examples further into the presentation. So we, like I said, we do focus on the scripture and the spiritual base. So we do so with the use of specific scriptures from the Bible, and these were selected from our formative research phase through our community partners, individuals with family history of prostate cancer focus groups. So we did develop these specifically from members in the community, and we also use testimonial witnessing, using specific examples from individuals in the community, and then applying it specifically through health and faith. So briefly, I'm going to go through our formative research phase. Our formative research phase, being that CBPR, if anybody works with CBPR, the development stage tends to be a lot longer than we expect, but we all know that it's a lot of going back and forth, making sure that everyone is satisfied with the final product. So originally, our project started, it was written in a grant as a men's specific and only intervention. However, through our formative phase, there was two major modifications that was made to the intervention that actually including women in our program and including the health information technology piece. So it was two major changes to our intervention. So just this form of phase, the end may seem small, but this phase probably took us about 2 years just to get to the intervention development part. So our advisory panel, again, we had congregation members, pastors involved in community. It had a membership of eight, six African-American men, two women, and throughout the process, we would convene them, and they would provide feedback on our material development and implementation of what's the best way to reach these men. It was really hard to get the men to the table. Focus groups, there's 25 total across the two focus groups, and then our cognitive response interviews were used to refine our material development pieces. So two of the major things that came out from our formative phase was specifically our participants told us that we needed to have brand our project. You couldn't use it as you couldn't go into the community and just say, oh, this is a research project, do it. We had to have a logo. They felt like we had to have a name that resonated with the population we were trying to reach, which is MPAC, and it had to be like kind of catchy so that it would roll off their tongue. And also to brand our logo so that it reflected what we were doing. So being faith-based and using, men in collaboration with one another, going through health promotion together. So which is why we have a lot of this. And the blue, even like little details, like the blue was specifically for prostate and colorectal cancer awareness, and we had to use those colors to make these wristbands just from promotion purposes. So just the little details was what made our formative phase, what took it so long. So we went through multiple revisions. And then even just having our educational booklet. So print material, we have a lot of that in research and interventions and education programs. But one of the things we learned was like these men wanted something that they could fit easily in their back pocket. So just one of the things we learned was creating these little booklets that were flimsy enough that they could kind of fold. And it's, I wish I had an example, but it's like this size and they could just fold it. It's about 6 pages that they can just slip in their back pockets because they were like, I don't want to pick up an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. So that's what we did, little modifications like that to our material. So again, we work with 20 churches, so it is a group randomized trial. And what we did was we assigned 10 of the churches to our what we call the men's only condition, where it's strictly men and talking about health promotion and prostate cancer screening. The other 10, which I'll explain a little later, is what we call the health partner condition. So the men, although the men are our primary target, we ask them to invite a woman that is that they would like to invite to the program. So it could be a mom, a sister, aunt, that would accompany them through the 4-part workshop series. So that was what we essentially were that's what we were testing for this intervention, to see if it made a difference to just have a men-only program or to actually include the women, which we know are the gatekeepers of health in the African-American community. So these are just some of the topics and a framework for our program. The pre-workshop, again, the training and certification took a while because if you think 20 churches, two at each, that's at least 40 to train and certify and follow through, and then we have to communicate with them to prepare them for each of the workshop. So we're in our fourth year, but data is very slow. Our kickoff, again, is just to get the men excited. Then we have specific topics that we cover in the different workshops. So we specifically target these information. So we'll give the background about the screening. But then specifically in workshop 3, because this is our primary outcome, we want to spend a lot of time on talking about the pros and cons of screening, because we do know that there are conflicting recommendations in screening. So we want to give them the information and let them know that it is a decision that's on them to make with their doctors. And then we have a mailed out survey for retention purposes, and then an in-person 12-month follow-up, which we are currently in now. So two of the major modifications, including health partners. We know that they are the gatekeepers, and our advisor panel, our formative phase, everyone was like, why is it only men? Why is our program only? It is men's health, but why are you not including the women who are the ones that tend to, we were told, tend to drag the men out to these, you know, to get them screened. So we had to incorporate this. So as you can see, like our whole intervention structure got changed to specifically testing that piece. And then the second part, health information technology, we learned that a lot of, even though we are targeting older men, they actually indicated that although they don't use technology as often as their younger counterpart, that they did actually actively engage in using text messages. Not surprisingly, but they did indicate that some of their churches were already using these technologies to get the messages out. So why not look into the acceptability and feasibility of text messaging, which was what we ended up doing. Again, it was not written to grant. It was a component that we had to completely spend about like 6 months just trying to frame. So we had them pre-workshop, in between workshop, after workshops. And these are just some examples of, we've seen text messages being used as reminders. We know that it works, but we actually included like a scripture in our messaging to remind them. So, and even the timing of when the text messages went out. Some of them said they wanted as early as 8 a.m. so that they can start the day with these messages and to kind of have that idea at the back of their minds while they go through their day. So even based on the recommendation, we had to time them accordingly. Our pilot study. Not too importantly, this happened in 2012, and we made sure that because the program had gone through so much modification that we had to make sure we were able to test, like it was feasible, that it worked, that it was something was actually ready to be rolled out to 20 churches. So, baseline findings. So right now, our baseline data, we have data from 289-minute baseline. They're all between 46 and 9. This is our selection criteria. The average was 55, majority of them were married, employed full-time, a little over half. This is actually pretty reflective of the Prince George's County population, although we know there are pockets where there are lower-income families. The population that we were working at actually reflected the greater demographics of the county. As we know, it's church-based, it's spiritually based, so majority of we have to test the religious belief and behavior. So we know that they're highly religious. 95% of them were Christian. We did know that. So health insurance, majority of them were covered. Majority of them had access to a regular doctor. So, well, then if we know that they're highly, highly educated, have higher income, what did they know already about prostate cancer awareness and knowledge? So what we learned was although our scale was on a 8-point scale, they averaged about 38. And the discrepancy on where the education was even though they knew screening was important, they didn't know the pros and cons of getting the prostate-specific antigen test. So the conflict, they didn't realize that even experts nowadays do not agree on whether they should get the PSA test. And so we wanted to educate on that throughout the four-part series. That was where this discrepancy was. In terms of getting screening and their self-efficacy towards getting the screening, you can see here that majority of them, these were self-reported, indicated that they were very sure that they can get it, but they didn't recognize what some of the warning signs for prostate cancer was. So these are like the gaps as to where we need to focus the latter half of our intervention. Varicose screening, not surprisingly either, but majority of them indicated that they did not experience any barriers to screening. These are very low percentages. These were the top three, but they're still under 10%. They basically indicated they didn't feel like there was any barriers to screening. However, if you look at our later findings, they didn't have any barriers, and most of them, for the most part, over 50%, did have the screening before in their lifetime. The percentage drops by half when we ask them if they've been staying up with the recommendation within the past 12 months. So our focus right here is the maintenance, the routine prevention methods and everything. So that's where we needed to focus the latter half of our intervention. In terms of decision-making, the stages of decision-making, since it is about informed decision-making, we want to know where they are at baseline first before we measure it at 12 months. And so we wanted to see between the two groups, was there any across and within and across group differences? We noticed at baseline there was none, so we'll be surprised to see where it will take us at the 12-month mark. But as you can see, a lot of, like, the mean is pretty even, not too much difference. But what we found surprising is the amount of individuals that participated in the men's-only church. Our N was a lot higher in the men's-only condition versus the health partner condition. This actually surprised us because we expected more men to participate in the other arm of the study. But we also realized the burden of inviting an extra person to the program. So that'll be interesting to see. We, you know, do have qualitative measures for that as well. Again, that same thing. It's just between group differences. No statistically significant findings there. Mobile technology, like we expected, 99% of them use a cell phone, and a lot of them use it for. Almost three quarters of them actually use it for text messaging. We're talking about men 40 to 69. So this is actually, we are realizing that it is possibly feasible to use text messaging. And our preliminary data has shown very favorable indication that they wanted to continue to receive our text messages even after the program ended. So, you know, like, I don't know if you guys get text messages from other activities. I don't like them to get them as frequently, but they're like, well, why can't you guys send us more? On other health issues, can we get them on diabetes? So they want this as an all-inclusive text messaging program, but we're not, you know, with funding, we can't do all of that. So it's just they would like to continue to receive it. Where are we now and I'll definitely answer questions in a little bit, but where are we now? We are basically in our fourth year. It's a four-year grant by the American Cancer Society. We've collected majority of our 12-month data. We haven't been able to enter and analyze all of it. We only have one pending church out of the 20 that we have not collected data from. So probably within the next 4 months or so, we'll be analyzing all that data to compare a pre-post long-term analysis on our actual intervention. And what we've also do, we have a sister project that focuses on colorectal and breast. So what we're doing now is we've done the prostate cancer program. They've completed their 12 months. So we offer these online training curriculum for them to actually implement in their churches. The CHAWS are already trained. We just have to give them the tests on breast and colorectal. And if they want to continue with their health ministry, we offer that. So we are working on sustainability. We're not a, you know, go in, get out type program. At least that's not the goal. Implications. Again, we want to build in the men's health piece as well as the health communication and using technology. And that's it. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Is this program transferable, or because church where I pastor, we have partnered with the Alzheimer's Association, and we do various workshops that we host in our church regarding raising Alzheimer's awareness. This would be something we would certainly like to partner with the African American community as it relates to cancer awareness.
Absolutely. That's our goal for the next step in terms of, like, for our PI, the next grant. We are working. The reason our sister project actually has an online, for that program, the difference is we have an online module and a traditional, this program was traditional, correct? And so it requires a lot of in-person training. So it does take a little bit of a time, but it is transferable. We have actually partnered with some of the Baltimore churches. They heard about our program, but we couldn't include them in the intervention. Now they are actually picking it up and trying it out in their churches. So it is possible, and if time is an issue, we would also be able to share our online modules where you can have them go through the entire training online and then follow up with them in person for the mock session. So it is possible, and we would definitely love to share that with you guys. Thank you. We're hoping. It's so hard to get the men to the table, like absolutely hard. But once they're there, the discussion that they have is amazing. Like every day is not the same. I love being out in the community. And once one person starts talking, it's so nice to see a few other open up. You know, it's not an easy topic to talk about. It can be very sensitive. You know, I don't know, like women in pap testing, so men in like prostate. And the screening is a little bit you know, invasive for some people, and it's really hard to talk about. But it's really nice to see that in the church setting, they are able to open up about it. So those, the three, the colorectal, the prostate, and the breast, have actually all been done in Alabama already. So they were tested, and we brought it. Our PI actually moved to Maryland, so she wanted to see if it was transferable in Maryland, which it. That's what we're finding out. It is working. And the breath has been tested. The only new thing that we're testing is whether the online modules are working, because we want to find an efficient way to disperse this information. So we're trying to find other effective communication outlets for that. So it has been tested, and it has worked. So if you guys are interested in we can definitely share that. Yes. Well, this is our website, but I can definitely, it's just basically Daisy Lee, D-A-I-S-Y-L-E, at umd.edu. And I'm the primary on this project, so just let me know that you guys are here, and I can definitely share the module. Thank you so much.